David Hawkings is senior editor of Congressional Quarterly Roll and Roll Call and author of Hawkings Here blog and column, covered Congress in various positions at CQ since 1995. Does anything touch Trump? I just mentioned various positions, and now there's this allegation of Stormy Daniels, an affair with her. Does anything touch this guy?
It doesn't seem to be that anything touches him. I think we all... Those of us in who covered his campaign definitely remember the day where he said, you know, I think the quote was, I could shoot somebody in the middle of Times Square and I still wouldn't lose any votes. So that seems to be the standard that he set for himself. And it does seem it seems to be one of the more prescient things that he said. It's remarkable that he has been able to say the things that he has said and see his level of approval is now about 38-39%. So sure, that is a drop of 8 or 9 points from the election. But given if you try and take your head out of the current news environment and put it into any other presidency and think of half the things that Trump has said being coming out of the mouths of any other president, you'd have to imagine that the approval rating would be way, way lower. So, yes, he's got remarkable staying power.
Okay, I want to play a little game with you. It's probably way too early. We've got 3 more years till the presidency. But you got Warren, Sanders, Gillibrand, Booker, Harris. And, of course, we're keeping our eye on Andrew Cuomo, who seems to think he could be president of the United States. What are the odds looking like these days?
You know, they are, and then we haven't even mentioned the one who's actually leading in the polls. When you ask when people have been polled, the guy who comes out way ahead of all of those folks is former Vice President Joe Biden. It's remarkable to me that somebody who has been around for that long still has that level of fondness and support. But he's the guy, you know, at the moment, he's the odds maker's favorite. But as you say, you know, there are a bazillion things that are going to change. It's going to be an enormous field. I think at one point that the field from which Trump emerged had 17 people in it. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if the Democratic field was at least that big. You know, and Cuomo's not far from the only governor. You got Hickenlooper from the former governor of Colorado. You got Terry McAuliffe, who just stepped down as the governor of Virginia. There are a couple of big city mayors, Carchetti in California. There are business people who are talking about doing it. There are celebrities that are talking about doing it. I'm so bad at pop culture that I don't even know who they are. So it's going to be amazing. It's going to be, the Democratic Party is going to have to decide whether it wants to go left or to confront Trump from the far left or mount a centrist candidate. Do they want an outsider to try and match him outsider for outsider? Do they want an insider and make the argument that, you know, competence Trump's personality? Who knows where they'll go?
And we never even mentioned Oprah. Okay, let's go to
a celebrity, yes. Right.
Let's go to the Mueller investigation. A lot of people have been waiting around, holding their breath, thinking that the Mueller investigation is going somewhere. As we speak now, we find out that Mueller, the special counsel, has interviewed none less than Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General of the United States.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, right? So it does seem like Mr. Mueller has got both a broad and a deep investigation going. Nobody who... The people who know aren't saying, and the people who are saying don't know about how precisely this is going to play out. The intensity of it suggests that there will be definitely, and the fact that we've already seen a couple of charges so far does suggest that we're going to know more of what he thinks he's got between now and the election, whether it will climax with the ultimate charges, whether he will get to the biggest fish that he thinks he's got between now and the midterm. We really don't know. There's a new round of rumblings even before we were started this phone call. Bunch of rumblings about Trump, you know, having just come out of this shutdown, using the next 3 weeks to maybe that'll be the moment where he tries to fire Mueller. I don't know. Who knows?
You have anticipated my next question, which is, all right, I've been predicting all along because he has to. Because if Mueller's got the goods, the president will fire him. One way or the other, the president will fire him. Let's just play the game. What happens if he does?
Well, it's getting a little bit trite, but playing the game requires you to would initially say, well, let's look at how this game has been played in the past, right? So the war and the way it was played in the past was it blew up the Nixon presidency when he did something similar. Will it matter this time? God only knows. Will he be able to do this and still have the kind of loyalty that the Republicans have given him? The congressional Republicans have given him for the past year. You would think not, given every historic precedent that's available, but then you might think so, given how this has gone in the past year. I mean, you think about all of the things that the president has said, not just on matters of policy, but on matters of race, but particularly on matters of race and on matters that go to the very soul of what this country is about. And you think about that, you can count practically on the fingers of both hands the number of Republicans who've called him on it, and you can definitely count on one hand the number of those Republicans who are running for re-election. It's really a remarkable thing.
Right now, if you take a look at polling, it shows that Trump is still immensely popular with the rank-and-file Republican Party, right? So,
that's right.
So therefore, you're a United States senator. You're afraid they're going to run a Bannon-type candidate against you. You got to be very careful about taking on the president of the United States.
That's the theory. I mean, at some point, the filing periods will close and everybody will know who their primary opponent is. And not everybody will have a Bannon-type primary opponent crawling up their back. And you'd think at that point they would feel some political liberation to stand up to the president, especially if they think that he is vulnerable, and if they think that he is, a short timer in some way or a spent force. I mean, what this has been all about for the last year has been, you can call it a marriage of convenience, a Faustian bargain, a forced marriage. All those analogies are pretty good, but what this has been about for the last year is that Republicans in Congress think the guy is, in many of them are willing to concede that they think that he is personally challenged and morally challenged, but he serves their purpose because he has gone from being this sort of post-doctrinal dealmaker to being a pretty hardline conservative governing force. So they're willing to. They're willing to play along so long as he keeps providing them with the energy that their own conservative goals require.
I got a minute, but do the DACA kids get allowed to stay in the United States?
I think in the end, yes. I don't exactly know how. I think maybe I'm just being naive, but I think they'll figure something out in the next 3 or 4 weeks that at least allows to going back to where things were last fall when the president suspended this program.
It's always wonderful to talk to our friend David Hawking, senior editor of Congressional Quarterly and Roll Call, covering Congress in various positions at CQ since 1995. David, again, I'm glad you're wearing the WAMC socks as we speak, and I hope we'll be able to talk to you real soon again.
Me too, Alan. Thank you so much.